This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
9 minutes after 10 o'clock. This is the Power Perspective. Oh my, oh my. All right, we'll try again in this hour. I am Sebenzile and Nkambule together until midnight on this Thursday evening, which, as you know, is our Friday. So we try and have a good time as much as is possible. Listen, the lines are working and open for you on 0861-987-000. Tweet us at Seb Nkambule and at PowerFM987. Use that hashtag Power Perspective when you do so. Remember those voice notes as well. That number for you, 0833037093. You'll remember October is Pride Month in South Africa. Global Pride Month is June. But in our part of the world, we also celebrate it around October. And I'm so, so happy to be joined in the studio by two phenomenal individuals who will be talking about their work, talking about Pride Month, but of course, some of the shows, in fact, that you and I can make our way to consume, and of course, learn a thing or two as well about the movement. In studio, I am joined by the founder of the Tami Dish Foundation, Tami Khotlolo, as well as a singer, choreographer, and drag artist, Donovan Yard. Are my guests this evening, and they're hanging out with us for as long as they want. We won't chase them out. If you want to stay until tomorrow, it's okay.
It's a Thursday.
What is a Thursday?
Welcome to Power Perspective, folks. Appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
It's been a busy day, and I know, Tam, you said I mustn't start with you, but that was
God.
An invitation for me to start.
Oh, God.
You've had a very busy day. Tell us a bit about it. I saw some of it on the socials, but you'll tell the story better.
I thought I asked you not to ask me the first question.
Yes, and that was you asking me to ask you the first question.
Well, like you said, it's been a busy month. It's Pride Month, and we are literally activating everywhere and anywhere possible for us to be visible. So I think one of the things that we're here for tonight is to also talk about the phenomenal experience that we have with the show. But we've also been running workshops, LGBTI inclusion and empowerment workshops at the Constitution Hill.
Yes.
Together with a couple of our partners, the Department of Infrastructure Development, who've been helping us with our dialogues, but also, you know, Constitution Hill, Brand South Africa. Look at my t-shirt. Thank you.
Hashtag inspired. The mic is in my way.
Inspired by the Constitution.
Inspired by the Constitution. There we go. Beautiful.
So we've been running a series of like workshops around media access to justice. Today was inclusion in and diversity in both public and private sector, but also speaking to businesses and how we can empower businesses and also improve on the inclusion of our queer community in the pink economy. And so...
Who were the people in attendance?
And tomorrow's mental health.
Yes, tomorrow's mental health. Who were the people in attendance? Who were you speaking to? The workshops are targeted at which groups?
So, I mean, largely... Monday was media, and it was literally looking at speaking to you, television, print, broadcasters, looking at how our narratives are just being put across, how we're actually writing ourselves into stories. And it was both an internal and external look at how we're profiled as queer people in the country. And so... You know, discussions ranged from how we stereotype the presence of or the profiling of queer people and to how it actually should come across. Yesterday we had the pleasure of having, so Monday would have been like commissioning editors, editors, producers, writers, directors, with an incredible panel that included like the likes of Mahano, Ati, who was in there, Gaupi, you know, like a couple of people who are in the space, but also then a sensitization training that looked at how you ensure that you ask me now what my pronouns are, which are he and him. But and then access to justice, looking at, you know, where we are, what we're dealing with as the country, where the justice system is, and a victim-centric justice system in terms of LGBTI inclusion, you know, so step-by-step process of where we are, NPA, correctional services, etc. As you might know, that there are many other challenges that we experience in those spaces. And then also, you know, we were joined by the Minister of Correctional Service, of Justice, sorry.
Justice and Correctional.
Of Justice, Ronald, yes, yeah. Ronald Lamola, who gave a keynote address yesterday. And it was the second time he was joining us, because he also joined us during our Pride March in Soweto, which is very rare because, you know Ronald.
That is so loaded. So I'm not going to act like I know what you mean.
I'm actually being silly. If he's listening, no, you know, if he's listening, he's going to be like, Yewen, tell me. But, you know, so we were joined by him.
Yeah.
And then today we had a very, you know, robust kind of discussion around inclusion. And we were joined by people like, you know, EY, Standard Bank, the likes of, you know, various people from the LGBTQI plus network that looks at inclusion and looks at how we are able to find ways to ensure that there are systems put in place to empower our community, and deliberate ones where, you know, supply chain, business opportunities, employment, etc. And then we had a keynote address from our MEC of Economic Development in the province, Mr. Pakstal, who came through to deliver something, as well as the representatives from...
What did he deliver? Like something?
He delivered. He delivered plans of what rebuilding the economy in the province looks like and what their key focus areas are, which I liked, because I think for a long time what people think is that, I mean, when people ask me about feathers, they always think, oh, it's such a nice event, it's amazing, blah blah blah,
fun,
and I'm like,
and
you know, and I'm like, no, we're actually trying to branch out into various industries. And so he outlined where their key points are, and the key points where we can also start going and start penetrating those areas. And we, you know, it was also beautiful that we were also in the panel discussion had his CEOs of, you know, Gauteng Tourism Authority, Gauteng Enterprise Propeller. We had people from a Department of Economic Development, and Zimkita. So it's really about like that growth, but also we looked into where we are and how, you know, powwows. Sylvester Chaka was there talking about how, yes, you know, if honesty has gone literally out of the wind, where we are in terms of representation, whether it be in advertising, speaking truth to ourselves, and where really the advertising world is, where we're no longer about illusions. We're about representing and looking at the things that actually speak to people. And CCMA representative or lawyers that came through to talk about, you know, what are the things that we deal with at the level of CCMA. If you ever encountered a situation where you were challenged, how would we deal with that? And would you know what your rights are? I mean, yesterday's session with Justice was... with Maudi Swartz spoke about accessing justice without a lawyer, and really it's about empowering people and making sure that people understand their rights and know what they can get, and understand when what is right and how you can access that right.
You know, somebody could be listening to you at Tami and say, Well, you know, is this all because it's an election season? Is this meaningful engagement really, particularly from you know, heads of business, captains of industry, leaders of government? But this, you've journeyed with these people for a while.
I'm not doing this for the first time.
Yes, and so let's double click on why these sorts of partnerships are key for groups of people who continue to be marginalized, continue to be targeted because of who they are.
Firstly, let me clarify, it's not partnerships in terms of doing the event itself. I think we've worked with people who've hosted us, like Constitutional has been absolutely amazing. Market Theatre has been absolutely amazing.
For a long time, yeah.
Yeah. And so the partnerships don't exist purely based on elections drive. I mean, in 2018, I established an LGBTQI network conference and gathered people from all over the world to try and speak to us and to connect with us and to try and engage and find ways in which we could possibly leverage on the best practice and what has won for other people in various countries. Mm. And so this is really a localized way of doing it here in the country. And I mean, we're in South Africa and we remain like one of the most inspiring countries in terms of the constitution on paper. How it translates into a lived experience really relies on these kinds of events that we do. And so when we do find moments, like, you know, we've got a political champion who is Tasneem Ouattara, who runs these dialogues with us, as well as some of the engagements we've done with the city of Joburg and municipalities across the province, and also even nationally, because I think what people must understand is that the work that we've done as an organization that was birthed out of the Feather Awards, which is the Tammy Dish Foundation you spoke about, has been able to access or has created an easier way to access people who are in positions of influence, but not just people who are in positions of influence alone, but of impact, who are able to take this work that we're doing forward. So the engagements continue, and I mean, we don't generally meet. We meet every 2 years to have this conversation and then reflect on the work that's been done. But as a result of COVID, the last one we did was in, in fact, it was in 2020. It was a smaller event because I think around that time was literally a time where we could do hybrid events. But the growing number of hate crimes in this country only, you know, pressurized us to actually having workshops. We call them workshops. It's not the Global LGBTIQ plus Network Conference. It's the workshops, the inclusion and empowerment workshops that enable our community to be empowered and start having real conversations. And I think it was just an opportune time during this time where people have had enough time to reflect on what is and what isn't and what is wrong and what is right, and really try and do right by right. Yeah. You know, so I think and it's been deliberate. Like, we've been running online stuff, but online things have not been really great because you understand the challenges of our queer community and how we are already in a space where there is very limited access to either data, finance, devices, or, you know,
all sorts of things.
Mm. And so when we move to level one, welcome to level one, alert level one.
Yes.
When we moved to level one, we then decided to jump on it and literally go out to people. So I have short space of time to produce the workshops, but we're only guided by the regulations that are set by the country. So we're law-abiding citizens, and we shall remain.
And here you are, and here you are.
I'm a law-abiding citizen, and here I am in your studio.
Donovan, it's so good to have you.
How hot is Donovan?
Donovan smells yummy.
I took a fresh shower.
Dan, Donovan smells yummy. I said that earlier. I was just Donovan, it's good to have you here. Donovan Yard, singer, choreographer, drag artist, and of course part of this work of celebrating or commemorating, there's also that aspect, right? And both mm-hmm. needs to be done, commemorating Pride Month. We also do it through the arts, right? Mm-hmm. And that's the reason you're here to tell us about this show that you're putting on at the Market Theatre. Good to have you. Welcome.
Thank you so much.
Don't
for having
me.
I'm not even looking in your direction.
Focus.
Such a good anchor, though. Right next to
love
me.
Love it. Yes, love it. Yeah, you good?
I am very good. Thank you so much for having me. Great. I'm here representing an entire house. This is way more than me, you know? Yeah. And that's what I constantly tell myself. Like, every opportunity, especially as a queer individual, to embody that and portray that. Mm-hmm. Is a stance of activism. You know, it's one of the, I know it's not a question you asked, but I'm just thinking to myself, like, on my way here, I'm like, why am I here? I always have that thing, you know, such a Virgo. Always analyze, like, why are you here? What are you going to say? Who are you? Umangwena, you know, and I'm like, well, I've legitimized myself, you know, through my lifetime and through how I live my life, through what I give myself access to what I've been given access to. And in light of the show, I must say that we have truly legitimized ourselves in a reputable, so-called reputable space. It is a reputable space, the Market Theatre.
Absolutely.
Drag has always been, you know, formed in the basements and in the darkness.
Hidden.
And
yeah.
After a certain hour, you know, and it's been so great to have that acknowledgement and that freedom within a space of all types of genders and people and cultures and so forth.
So the show is called the House of Pink,
yes,
Volume 1. Tell us what it's about. And I'm always excited when there's Volume 1. That means there's more
yes.
to come
yes.
over time, which yes. is awesome. But let's stay here now. Tell us about it. Who are you working with? What folks can expect?
House of Pink, Volume 1 is really a stance sound so... like we're up here to fight. I mean, we are fighting, but in beautiful regalia, darling, in wigs and dresses and yes. makeup and in smeg-sized lashes and stuff, you know, and we bring across real points. First of all, visibility, which is my big thing, you know. Mm.
Hello.
Which is visibility and... Wait. You see, Tommy does these things with the phones.
Hello, Tommy is people. Distracting
I love
with
it.
With with Insta Live and so on. But it's cool. This is how we do it. Let's go.
The House of Pink is a place where we take a stance to say that this is who we are. This is where we are. Especially like in line with what you were saying, like legitimizing ourselves within these spaces where you would not normally find us in ads, in on billboards, in people's magazines, on cover pages and stuff like that, you know. And it's so beautiful how there is quite a range of us within the show. There's Lebang Toko, there's Gitana, there is Shanae O'Brien, there's myself, and each of us have something so very different and colorful to add to the show. Like, I can speak for myself, I'm quite androgynous. It's been something I've for the young part of my life, I had a bit of a battle with, because you know, you're not open to these conversations. You don't know Tommy Dish, you don't know the foundations, you don't know all these spaces that you can feel safe in.
Also, the language, Donovan, right,
yeah.
is not obvious, right? So there's somebody
yes.
androgynous. What does that mean? So teaching moment, explain, and then you continue.
Androgynous, to put it plain and simple, is someone who aesthetically, like me, here I am, I have aesthetic qualities, like physical qualities of a man and a woman. Like right now you can see, like, my A-cups are quite, you know, present. I'm quite effeminate in my
yeah.
nature, you
yeah.
know, and I bring that across in my performance, because that's where I feel like I speak from a truer place. Like, it's where I completely bear my soul, and this is who I am, and this is the stance that I'm taking, whether it's lighthearted or heavy, you know? And that's really what the show has been for me, to really open myself up to a very pronounced, like a big level of saying, this is my manly aspect, this is my womanly aspect, and I embody all of this through the music, through the movement, through the little nuances, through the little tilts of the wrist, through the little, you know, you know.
Yes, look at your nuances. Yes. Yes, isn't it? Look at your nuances. Nuances.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. I love that though, because it's coming from a place where I think at times people and no fault of their own, right? It's to the point you were mentioning earlier, Tammy, about not you know, there not being sufficient visibility. And when there isn't sufficient visibility, people don't get the language. People don't quite get it. And so they may end up offending unintentionally. Of course, there are those who do it intentionally. But for folks who are actually wanting to learn, what a beautiful opportunity to have a space such as the market, to have workshops and all sorts of events that are more mainstream for people who, of course, are open to learning and are receptive to actually engage. What was that the reception you got, Donovan?
Three, absolutely, and so much more. I mean, just from...
It's called Fully Booked.
Yes, it's called Demand. It's called Flooded Inbox. When is the show happening again? It really was. I can literally speak from the Market Theatre space, just entering the space, the respect. I'm very big on respect. The respect that we received. I very much enjoyed the process of the technical run, because you have all these men busy rigging things and
lights
doing
and
things,
all sorts
and, you
of,
know,
yes.
And they went from being very involved, rightfully so, to rigging these things and placing this, that, and the next, to really having encounters and conversations with each of us, you know, on a human level. Because I'm a theater baby, so the thing about me is that whenever I step into a space, I make sure I speak to everyone. You greet everyone. You say hello to everyone.
Who's part of the production,
yes.
Right.
You know, that's why I constantly say it's more than you. You can never achieve things of such scale on your own. Someone who sweeps, someone who bakes, someone who cleans, someone who hangs.
No, Market Theatre is good like
very
that.
Very important. Mm. Yeah, they're honored. And we've received so much love just on that front. And that's not even speaking of the show, you know, and the run of it. So it's been really good, and the intrigue and from, especially from people from, like, let me say, straight people who's been wanting more. I have not had time, just on answering people's questions like, when is the show happening? People are literally still thinking that the show is currently running. People want to buy tickets.
It's done
for now.
For now. I was going to say that no, but we want more, right? And that's the great thing about having a good reception. For anybody who may have been doubting whether or not this is the thing to do, it's like, here's the evidence. We want more of this.
Yeah, this was a godsend, literally a godsend, and actually an audacity from my part, because I, you know, when you have access, either make yourself available or not. And because I know what I have to contribute, whether I was going to get a part in it or not, I knew I had something to say, you know? And I'm so, like, I'm deeply grateful. This has opened up so much access, yes, but within myself, especially as a performer, I've gone through, and I can speak for everyone, you know, as artists, as people, we've gone through a lot. Going back on what Tammy said, like, it's really given us the time to reflect. I was saying to the Uber driver on the way here, there was a time, literally a day, where I sat to myself and I was like, go back to the time when you were a child and you believed... Oh, I'm getting so emotional. Go back to the time you were a child and you believed so hard in what it is that you wanted, without any inhibitions, without any veils and stuff, and just be there. Something as simple as the broom going missing, and my father knowing exactly that I am the one that took the broom, because I'm busy out there spinning, drum majorating, choreographing for what, I don't know. Wow. But something is happening, something is painting, something is manifesting, and it's the build up to this and so much more, you know. Just being able to touch people's lives, that is my purpose. My purpose is to serve, and in this way I give it best, you know.
My guests this evening in studio with us, Tammy, the founder of Tammy Dish Foundation, as well as Donovan, who's a singer, choreographer, and drag artist. My guests, we are talking about October Pride Month. We're talking about some of the activity. The show premiered last week. It ran over the weekend, right? The 8th until the 10th.
Yes.
And as we were saying there, we want more, because it isn't only about the entertainment, but there's visibility, which is key. There's education to it as well, and audiences deserve that. Remember, you can jump in on the discussion. You're giving us a ring on 0861-987-000. Remember, engage us on the Twitter streets as well at Sebengambule at PowerFM987. Use that hashtag Power Perspective when you do reach out. Donovan, let me come back to you. How did you come to drag? So as you said, you're a thespian, you're a theatre baby, mm-hmm. You're an artist. And of course, you could have gone here, there, and everywhere. And I imagine you still will if you wanted to. But how did you land here?
How did I feel like I've always been here. This has just been literally a very pronounced, to people who doesn't understand what I mean by pronouns, like, this is it. This is the lash. This is the eyebrow. This is the hair. This is the dress. This is the pants. This is the, you know what I'm saying? I'm serving you visuals. I'm serving you aesthetics. How this came about was literally me being, I was tired of conforming, you know? I was tired of constantly questioning, was I good enough, you know, in order to conform to this role, this masculine role, which I went to a casting for, an audition for. And it's very good to be challenged. And I thought to myself, no, but I'm not challenged. You know, in hindsight, I thought to myself, I'm not challenged as a queer performer. But the challenge is so there because of the reason why I'm doing it, because it opens me up to more than just a performance. It opens me up to conversation. It opens me up to being accessible, because there's so many people who's also messaged me and questioned and had certain questions to ask, which I was not necessarily privy to or didn't have the answers to. But it allowed me to tap into a part of myself that I've really kept sort of buried, you know, and kept aside, because this is not what the cover of, I won't mention the name, but of whatever place would necessarily go for. So don't really give that much attention to that. Also, we're not necessarily in a country where you easily see, you know, a queer man on a billboard or something if your name is not Sebanibani or Sebanibani. No names mentioned, no offense either. But I really think that the more we do these things and the more we legitimize, and I'll always come back to that, the more you legitimize yourself within a space, the easier it becomes for you and the people that you surround yourself and you find yourself with. You know, it makes it that much easier. We can never do these things on our own, because it, coming back again, it is so much more than us. There are people who died for me to sit here and have this conversation, to have this access, to just have the audacity to think for myself, about myself.
Absolutely, absolutely. Tammy, let's talk about the awards.
Oh no, she's back to me now.
I'm back to you. I gave you a breather.
No, first of all, I'm obsessed with Donovan. I'm obsessed with Shanae. I'm obsessed with Katana Clitoris.
Yes. Can we say that?
I didn't want to.
Yes, of course.
You know, but we can. You know.
Of course, of
Come
course.
On, it's 10:37. Yes. It's just gone 10:37 here on Power FM.
Yes.
98.7. And you're listening to Tommy Dish here on 7 Dealers Show.
You're trying to take my job.
Yes. No, job. You know what I'm saying. So, I think I'm obsessed with them. I'm obsessed with them, and what a brilliant opportunity we had with the Market Theatre. So when all the management team, and them called and said we should have that show, and looking at a partnership, they were like, you should have feathers, but how do we build, you know, a road to feathers and the development around it? And so you think about all of them, you know, And you're like, wow, how amazing are you? And it's true, like Donovan says, the experience there, you know, I would like in the world to go through the same experience that we go through when we work with people at the Market Theatre, who I think and I probably know they're not even sensitized around, you know, LGBTQI spaces, but they're just so amazing. I have to give it to them. And so one of the things that we thought as a build up to the awards, because the awards are happening on the 11th of November, let's have the show. And Donovan is not a stranger to me.
Oh, is there a story here?
No. There are many stories.
Professional story.
There are professional stories, you know?
We like the unprofessional ones.
No. They're professional stories. But also, the truth of the matter is that within community, you try and build.
Absolutely.
Within community.
Yeah.
And so we know each other, and we come from the same background. And I think our previous experiences of working with each other only led us to doing this thing now, you know? You know, the struggles that we always have is like, how much access do we have to financial backing for this, that, and this, and that?
To do the work, yeah.
You know, and so once you bring in a team of people who actually believe in not the financial, and I'm not saying they should not, because that is not
resources
right,
are needed.
Right?
Yeah.
But believe in what the power of this has, you know?
Mm.
And so when we go back and we have conversations with Market Theatre, it's like, oh, no, the reason why, because House of Pink was just House of Pink. They added V1 because they knew they wanted V2 and V3 and V4.
And V13.
And I'm like, ugh.
Million.
And V13. Oh, yes, we're teens. I forget that we're teens as feathers, right?
13. These
yes.
are you're 13 this
yeah.
year.
Yeah. Oh my God.
You're 13. Oh, that's God. No small feat. I mean, that is no small feat. And you're still going.
Strong.
That monster called feathers.
Strong.
Yeah, like, you know, when you get into your teens, you're like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh
what's going on?
You know, and unfortunately, like, my 13-year-old is super expressive and is super present. And so
disruptive
and disruptive.
Oh, yes.
And wants everything and
takes up space.
Takes up not just space, takes up all the space. Right. Unapologetically so. And so there's nothing you can do to stop that 13-year-old. And we find ourselves here today and we're like, oh my God, how do we package? And thank God to COVID. How do we package an event that people have seen as quite entertaining? So it has entertainment value, but there's also a balance of the work that we actually do. So people who are guests there are people who actually do the work. People who, and thanks to COVID and size limitations and regulations, we were able to sift through the people we actually want who are actually doing the work. But we...
Oh, I'm sure lots of people are unhappy.
Well, I mean...
Because we all want to make guest lists.
Which one? A or C? No, but also...
Ouch!
Also, no, wait. I have to tell you. We have to get to a point in our lives where the only time we can actually engage with people, or the only time people are afforded a seat at the table is if they've done some kind of impact work that speaks to us. So ask me this question maybe 8 years ago, I would have had a different view. I'd have been like, I'm still trying to establish myself. I'm still trying to make sure that there's a name out there and there's a platform that's built.
Yeah.
But post that, you move. You're like, the only people that actually should be afforded to see the table are people who are actually doing the actual work. You know, there's the illusion is gone. There's no time to you know, literally be about we're just doing red carpets for outfits and people who actually don't know what true allyship is and what being in the space is. Like, I walk the red carpet, or my parents and my siblings and my family come with me all the time, and I work with friends and Donovan and all of them, and in hard conditions, you know, wearing heels, doing choreography, when I even don't want to do choreography.
Yes.
But we understand what the message is. So you talk about drag shows, you know, drag is a big culture for queer people. And so how do I infuse that into the show itself as Feathers, right? You talk about certain individuals who every time we go to dialogues and we engage with become our heroes. So, you know, the expansion and the growth of the Feathers has only led us to reviewing even the nominees that we have there and making sure that the nominees are people who we can vet and say, actually, this one is good, because when we had Lonabo Jack's case, or when we had Bonang's case, or when we had whoever's case, they came through and they showed up, and showing up was just enough, you know. And they went through the extent of ensuring that we're pushing and we're helping and we're doing the Lord's work. So, Feathers, yeah, I mean, fun event, exciting. You will never lose out on that. But yes, there's real work.
Real work there. Look, I want to go through some of the categories.
Oh, Jesus.
And we'll do that in just a moment. Listen, there's some delicious names here. People who've been nominated, and we'll speak to that in just a bit, but not before Spoo, you are interrupting conversations here, but the bills must be paid. So let's do that. 15 to the top of the hour here on Power Perspective. I continue my chat with Tami and Donovan after this.
Power Perspective with Sebenzile Ngambule. Call Sebenzile on 0861-987-000.
Yes, or you can tweet me at Sebenkambule or at PyFM987. Here's a tweet here from Sarah Evans, who says, my beautiful friend Donovan talking about visibility, drag, art, and heart. Tell us about Sarah. Hello, Sarah. Thanks for tuning in.
Oh, my soul. You literally took my breath away. Sarah is one of my bestest best friends in the entire universe. She is a beautiful mind. Such a beautiful writer. She used to write for, like, she's a freelance. Oh, let me not misrepresent, but she writes like a beast.
Mm-hmm.
Freelance writer. We're both from Kimberley. We both, she was at Girls Eye, I was at CBC. Really created a bond there through our love for the arts.
Nice.
And supporting one another's productions at school. And the years went on, went and studied, came back to Kimberley because I was like, what am I doing with my life? Oh my gosh, help me, Lord. Came back and I was flooded with work, you know, just going crazy in my 20s. And we ended up being housemates. And last week was the first time in years that we actually saw each other physically. I mean, she came to the show, but I mean, I went to her home and we both live in the same area.
Wow.
For years.
Wow.
But we can't say, yes, my friend, we will.
Joburg tendencies, you see, Joburg tendencies.
COVID tendencies?
Not
and Joburg. You know how you are. Let's do coffee. And it never happened.
Oh, no, that's not me. I'm a hermit.
That is exactly me. I do home things. I like the street. Yes. Yeah, for a young moment.
Here
and then home. Yes. Oh, Sarah, thank you. She's been actually psyching me up the whole day. Like, you're going to be okay. You're going to
be fine.
I love you, Sarah.
You're a trooper, Sarah. You're a trooper. Let's come back to the categories, Tami. We're talking about. I'm not caught.
Jesus.
And I'm just going to pick any of these. I mean, all of these are fantastic. It's people who are recognizable. But as you say, you're infusing that with also recognizing work done by people who are on the ground, who are pushing the movement, fighting for rights, advocating for LGBTQI+ rights. So you've got categories such as best LGBTQI+ youth movement. You even honor parents and parenting. You also recognize work that's being done within both the public and the private sector. So there's that work, but then you also are looking at you know, categories where you're asking who the hunk of the year is. You're asking who the cutest couple is, who the hot chick of the year is. So let's do the hunk of the year. You've got Wansia Khumalo, who is an author.
Fabulous.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful person. Then you've got Wiseman Zita.
Fabulous.
Beautiful human. Then there's also one Rich Mnisi as well. Right? Beautiful Fabulous. Human as well.
So, check the tone. Check the tone. Check the tone there. Gorgeous. Check the tone. I'm gonna do exactly what you did, right? Yes, let's talk about the hunk of the year right now. We've got Sia Khumalo, who's beautiful author and whatever. Fabulous. Wonderful man. And then we've got Wiseman Zita, who is like also fabulous. Beautiful man. Uh-huh. I'm doing you now. And then you have like Richard Mnisi. Fabulous. Oh, another beautiful man.
That is not how it went down.
That's right. How Donovan.
Next question, please.
Yes, Donovan, yes. Tough one, right? These are tough categories.
Yo, you know the process of selecting these ones was intense.
Is it because there's just more people who just more people to choose from, or what's going on?
Do you know what? There's a beautiful change in energy and the evolution, and there's just a generation now that really doesn't care about what you think, and they are in the process of degendering everything, right? And so, as a firm believer of existence revolution, these humans show up, right? And they show up as they are, as who they are. And it's beautiful. Like, you look at Sia, beautiful writer, writes about religion and various things, economy, but also is like, you know, writing erotica right now. So there's like that word that we're using, these young ones, Abo. I'm a 2000 about nuances. You know, it's nuanced. You know, and then you look at people like Wiseman, you know, who people would think like very traditional, Giani Tsonga speaking human, you know. And then you look at people like Richard Mnisi, who's also Tsonga, but also fashion engineer and a pioneer in that space, and who is really breaking grounds. And
yeah.
And it's really about, listen, you know what I'm serving you today is my thigh.
Yeah.
What a thigh.
And the thigh gap. And so the selection and across, you know, one of the things that, because I really don't have like control over like the nominees process, apart from the cooking bit and the facilitation bit. But it's so amazing that when you bring in a group of people, because, you know, we had to do it differently this year. You had to literally work on focus groups, as in how you would have researched. And so we relied a lot on what we were seeing on the socials and public spaces.
Yeah.
But then we're then pushed to look back at who these individuals are.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And to trace. And so, you know, in Feathers, in the past, we found ourselves nominating people who were previously homophobic and who've tweeted stuff and who've said stuff. And we've had to, you know, retract and say, we withdraw this nomination and this is not what we stand for. And which is why I love where we are now as teens, is that we really are intolerant of any kind of abuse and hate crime. And so that list came, and when we're doing the evaluation, we're like, oh, every category is tough. You think like Musician of the Year, Makadzi, phenomenal.
Love Makadzi. Phenomenal. Oh, Langa, yeah.
Lady Du, phenomenal. But that's like all like young new energy, right?
Even cutest couple. And I wanted to say, so you're not only limiting it to queer couples, right? You've got Latoya Makhane and Lebo Keso, you've got Sylvester and Tumelo, and then you've got Musa and Liesel Mthombeni as well.
I was, from day one, I said the nominees need not be humans who are queer, right? And the recipients of the awards don't really have to be queer. And in the way that the awards were established was just to give, you know, a pat on the back to individuals who support, empower, include and represent the queer community.
Yeah.
And so we're not like the rest of society that discriminates and says we're having women's awards, except you're not fully a woman, so you can't enter into this. It's like the same way I commend people like, you know, the Miss South Africa organization for allowing and for changing the narrative. And they go and say, if you're trans women, if you're women, and, you know, we're going to allow it. And to this extent, until we, if we must comply with international regulations, we'll go to a point where then we must really look at the gender marker and say Home Affairs has changed and you no longer appear or exist in your dead name and this is who you are and you're fully a woman. And those are the things that we have to navigate. That's the work that we do. But I think it takes humans like that or projects or events like that to help us to get to a point where really we can look at representation from all aspects. You know, this has been a journey. People are really tired of being told who they are when they know who they are not. You know, and so that time has come and gone. You know, you can't keep telling people or imposing and want to mold human beings. So hair conversations are going on. Our blackness is going on.
Yeah.
Our queerness is going on, which has been a thing and a conversation for the longest of time. Our existence is going on. Our diversity is going on. Non-binary conversations are going on. And so that list of nominees, we looked at it and we're like, you know, because it really is that great. You know, it's people who've actually stood for something and represented something. And so,
is it a case of everybody is a winner, like being nominated?
I mean, I think you're better off, you know, can I tell you something?
Because we want to win. Like, it's, you know, it's a good cause. It's, but you want to win.
Can I tell you something? So it's great to win. What you do with the win is the thing that we must discuss.
Yeah.
I've always said to people that you're better off a nominee because you can leverage on that period as a nominee. Once you say, I've won, then next, we start working on the next process.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we start looking at who's coming in next. It's only, the responsibility is only on you to see how you take that forward, whether you integrate yourself into our programs and you're coming in with us, you're sensitized and you're being an advocate of some of our issues, then it is a thing. But you could literally sign deals as a nominee.
Okay.
But when you win, I mean, everybody's a winner. Look, award shows are great. And they really are about celebrating individuals who are doing great.
Yeah.
And I think the only thing there is like the person who decides by who wins and who doesn't. But I think everyone is a winner.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know where the time went. I absolutely don't know where the time went. It's been an absolute pleasure. I have thoroughly enjoyed this. How do folks keep up? How do folks get involved in 15 seconds?
Involved in my life?
And, well, I mean, if there's that, you know, hey, Donovan.
Well, my like I said,
use the platform as you will.
No, I'm very active on Instagram, so cool. Really catch me on Instagram. And it goes hand in hand with what Tammy was saying. Like, the moment you become accessible and a winner in whatever form, you have to kind of apply yourself. So Twitter will be seeing me soon. Please be nice to me. Facebook. I'm on Facebook, but primarily Instagram.
What's your handle on Insta?
At Donovan Yards. DonovanYards. Like many yards, two A's.
Tammy, how do folks get involved quickly in, the foundation, the work you've been doing for more than a decade, and the work you continue to do?
Well, I mean, I think simple. I'm at Tammy Dish, and if they follow stories around the world that really profile and about looking at people who do great, they must follow at Jemison, because...
They must follow Jemison.
And I see you guys, you know, because, you know, okay. You know, the world is there now, yes. You know, we're at the point where, you know, we're actually not, that illusion is gone. You can't sell an illusion anymore.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Labels.
You know, no, it's not late, you know, but yeah, I'm at Tammy Dish across all platforms. They can also follow at Tammy Dish Foundation. They can also follow Feathers SA. And
thank you.
This is who we are.
This is who we are. And I thoroughly appreciate you making the time to join us this evening here on Power Perspective.
Is it still evening?
It is indeed. It is indeed still evening. And we must go to the news now. Thank you very much to both Tammy and Donovan for hanging out with us here on Power Perspective.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.